purpose of life is to survive. And you could say that is the characteristic of life, that life is self-preserving. It's a system in the world which is so structured that it preserves itself. And that's really the basic definition of life. It's, whether it's a cell or whatever, it's structured that it keeps the system going. The cell repairs itself, it does this, it nourishes itself. The purpose is to keep going. That's its purpose of life. So that's the purpose of life, is to live, basically, is to keep living, to stay alive. Then within that, there are certain physiological states which promote that. So the purpose of life becomes to maintain the best physiological states for survival, and that's what's called homeostasis. Keeping the blood at the right temperature, keeping the salt level in the blood at the right concentration, the right amount of food, air, whatever it is that that's homeostasis. The body has its optimum level of functioning. And a lot of what the brain does is continually monitoring that, bringing things continually back into balance. So that there is that optimum balance, the homeostasis. So you could say the purpose of life is to live. The goal of life then is to maintain homeostasis, maintain the ideal conditions for continuing to live. When we are in balance, when the body's in balance, it feels good. The body feels good, we feel okay. When we're out of balance in some way, then we don't feel good. There's pain, there's discomfort, could be physical, could be mental, but there's discomfort. And the very nature of discomfort is that it's unpleasant. And so the organism wants to return to a more comfortable state. And so there's a basic feeling quality to homeostasis. When we're in balance, when life is okay, it feels okay, we feel relaxed, we feel at ease, there's contentment, there's satisfaction. That's the internal feeling of I'm living okay. When there's some threat, danger, ill health, cold, when life is out of balance, that discomfort that comes from that is the motivation to return to homeostasis. So that's the basic, that's the fundamental motivation, is to return to feeling okay. And that's what keeps us alive as organisms, that motivation to feel okay, to return to feeling okay. Then values are developed, and the values are what we believe is going to make us feel okay, what's going to make us feel better. And so in a simple organism, a value is finding the right food, having the right food, being in the right circumstances. Values are all relative. This situation is preferable to that situation. This situation has more value. The organism is going to survive better here. I will be drawn to that situation. I will avoid this situation. So the value becomes what you are attracted to, what you turn away from, what you have aversion to. So that's the very basic value. So we are attracted towards things which make us feel okay, have the promise of feeling better. And that fundamental motivation, that's universal to all creatures, universal to us. The Dalai Lama said, in the final analysis, the hope of every person is simply peace of mind. Ultimately, that's our motivation, is to feel okay. And so everything we do, in one way or another, is towards feeling okay. Even when we help somebody, there's a sense of fulfillment from helping somebody. We move beyond our egocentric needs, we do something for somebody else, there's an okayness there. So it can take many forms, but that's the basic motivation, is to feel okay, that sense of okayness. And we give that many, many different words, and each of us, you know, for some it's ease, contentment, happiness, peace, fulfillment, many words we can give it, but they all point to that same basic thing of how do we feel inside. So that, I think, is that's true for life generally. then with human beings, we've laid a whole nother thing on top of this, which comes back to that triple conjunction I was talking about yesterday. The two capacities that have changed everything is this combination of speech and hands, speech and tools, rather. Through the speech, several things come, one of which I mentioned yesterday is we can share information with each other. We can learn from each other. So we build up this collective understanding of how the world works, and we're learning from everybody else's experience. I mean, most of what you've learned in life, but a large part of what you've learned in life comes from education, reading, conversations with other, the stuff you learn from your own experience, but there's a whole wealth that comes from the collective learning of humanity, of the culture. And we have the ability to start changing the world, to make things, simple tools. But every tool that's been invented has been something that's been to improve the quality of life in some way. It's in service of that value. The value is to make the world a better place for us so that our survival is more ensured. So that's one side of this triple conjunction. The other side is what it's done to our mind, to our thinking. Well, in fact, it's led to thinking in the first place, because most of what we call thinking, most of it, not all of it, but most of it is verbal thinking. We are talking to ourselves. We not only talk to other people, we can chat to ourselves. That inner dialogue, which can be useful, but if I look at myself, a lot of the time it's just that background chatter that's a commentary. It's just commenting on what is going on. Its origin is very useful. What that thinking did, it allowed us to step back and expand our appreciation of the world. So it was really in service of that value of choosing the best circumstances in order to feel good, in order to maintain homeostasis, in order to stay alive. So the thinking, that ability to think, is in service of that staying alive, the purpose of life. And what the thinking did was it expanded our consciousness in several ways. Not just that we could think about things, but we could begin to step back from our immediate experience of the world. And so our experience of time shifted immensely. I would say another creature, its experience of time is just the immediate present, and probably creatures have short-term memories. You know, anybody who has pets and things, they have short-term memories, and they have long-term conditioning. They remember a person they don't like, etc. But what happens with human beings is, because we give things symbols, we can conjure up experiences. You know, I can give you a series of symbols which says, you know, think of the house you lived in when you were 15 years old. You know, there's a series of verbal symbols which then trigger a memory in you. And so memory has expanded because of language. We can conjure up stuff. I think of the dog visited the house it was in earlier in its life, there would be that recognition. It would recognize the place and feel familiar and know where to go. But I don't think it can just sit here on the ground and say, oh, let me remember back to where I was 3 years ago. It doesn't have that ability. Language gives us that ability. And it also gives the ability, the other direction, to look into the future. So I think animals, they have that immediate looking into the future. It's like, if I go over there, you know, I can go play with that dog, or there's food there, or here's someone to avoid. There's that immediate future. But there isn't, you know, if I do this, then in 3 years' time I could be doing this, and then maybe that'd be good. We have that ability to look much further ahead into the future. And so a lot of our thinking is in service of how can I get the world to be a better place, in service of my values? How can it be a better place that I will feel okay in the future? And that's where a lot of our thinking goes. looking at situations, analyzing what is going on, understanding it, trying to understand it, looking ahead, making plans, making choices, then putting those into action, ideally, so that we then create a world that is going to help us survive better, help us live better, help us feel better. And that's what's made us so different as a species, the fact that we can do that. And that's how we've created all this wonderful stuff in service of feeling better so that we can survive better. But then, and this is the irony of it all, a lot of that thinking gets in the way. Because as soon as we start thinking about the future and how it could be, there's this sense of dissatisfaction in the present. There's something missing. We're lacking something. And so we create an internal sense of discontent. We want to be content, and we're so busy looking at how we can be content in the future, we create discontent within ourselves about how things are in the present. And that, I think, is what, you know, so many of the spiritual teachers have just recognized, the paradox or the irony of it all. You know, some people, we spend our whole lives hoping to be at peace, and finally we put it on their gravestone, rest in peace. Finally you've achieved a state where you can be at peace. Not recognizing that the capacity to be at peace is there in every single moment. So if we come back to life in general, the balance, the homeostasis, when things are okay, we feel okay. And that, to me, is the natural state of mind. I call it natural mind. Other people call it true nature, whatever. There's different names we give to it. The natural state of mind is feeling okay. That's where we are. Life is in balance, nothing to worry about. And that's where I think most animals are most of the time. If a dog's here, lying on the ground here with its chin on the ground, just watching the world go round, if something attracts its attention, it'll get alert, go over there. If there's danger or there's food or whatever, or the opportunity for a walk, it'll get interested. But basically, it's at peace. It doesn't sit there saying, God, I've got nothing to do, I'm bored, I'm wondering what's, you know, God, I've got to go to the vet next week and that's going to be a pain. It doesn't. It doesn't disturb itself. What human beings do, this is the downside of this wonderful gift of being able to change the world. The downside is we make ourselves feel bad. We create discontent. And we keep on thinking and thinking and thinking, thinking if I just thought enough, if I just worked things out enough, if I just worked this through, planned this, got this handled, did this, I'd finally be at peace in the future. Not recognizing that all that thinking is taking us out of natural mind. This way of thinking is addictive, because what happens is we think this way, that if I get something, if I get whatever it is, this thing I'm going to have that's going to make me happy, you know, a new jacket or wonderful meal or conversation with a person, whatever it is, we have all these things that are going to make us feel great. We plan things, we create things, we change things, we get what it is we think we want, we go and buy it or have this meeting. And we do feel good. We feel good. But we think we're feeling good because we bought this jacket or something. But that isn't actually what's happening. But that's what we think is happening. And so, because, you know, we feel good about it, we buy this jacket. And something else comes up. It's like, well, I feel better if I actually got a raise or if I resolved this argument with my partner or whatever. So we focus on that. And then that happens and we feel a bit better. And then something else comes up and we resolve that. And that's what in Indian traditions is called samsara, which literally, samsara literally means endless searching, endless searching. In some traditions, it's taken to mean the sort of cycle of birth and death, but the original meaning is just endless searching. We're endless searching for something that's going to make us feel good. And it is going to be endless. And we create so much of that that's totally unnecessary. The reason we feel good when we buy the jacket is nothing to do with the jacket. What we've been doing is we've been making ourselves feel that little bit bad because we don't have it. There's been this discontent. We have created discontent. Then when we buy it, we no longer are creating that discontent. And you can see this because the discontent goes not when you get the jacket, but when the moment you decide to get it. So it's the moment, you know, when you decide, I'm going to go and get that jacket I've been looking at, and so you walk into the store to get it. The discontent's gone before you've even got the jacket. So it's not the actual getting it. It's in the mind. The mind has shifted. I no longer need to worry about that. I can feel okay again. But we think it's the buying something that's made us feel good. It isn't. It's we have stopped ourselves being discontent over something and returned closer to that natural mind of just feeling at ease. What we're talking about is a return to our natural state within all that we've created. And so all of this, you know, what's happened over the last 3 million years of human evolution has created all of this incredible stuff, which has ensured a much healthier, I mean, all of us, most of us in this room would have been dead a few hundred years ago. Very few people live to the ripe old age I've got and still be healthy. You know, we've certainly succeeded in all of that. And there's this downside that we've got hypnotized into this way of thinking that says the only way to be happy is to change the world, to get something, do something, make something happen, stop something happening. And so we get completely absorbed in that way of thinking. And that's what's driving the world crazy. That's what runs our culture. It's what makes us unhappy. It's the basic error in thinking. Certain times it's valuable. If you're hungry, that way of thinking is useful. I'm hungry, get some food. You know, it's better than I will deal with the pain of hunger and I will sit here and not eat anything and this is a great spiritual value. You'll die. Eventually. You know, so at that level, it's great to be thinking, where shall I go to eat? What's going to be nutritious food? What will be the best thing? What is all that wonderful there. But, you know, when you're driving down the freeway and you've got nothing to do and the mind is going on, it's like a complete waste of time, waste of energy, and just makes us tense. It's learning how do we return to the natural state of mind which most other creatures enjoy most of the time and we enjoy hardly ever, hardly any of the time.